Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 15. Let's stand. I'll read you a few verses tonight and give you a little thought here out of this. The Bible said this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Goes on to say in verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide in me, he cast forth as a branch, and is withered. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If he abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight, and Father, that you'd give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech, God, as we look into your word, Father. I pray, God, that the word of God would find a lodging place in the hearts of the hearers, God. Father, may we learn from your word tonight. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look into these verses tonight and talk to you a little while, preach to you a little while on this thought. The essentials for a fruitful life. The essentials for a fruitful life. As you begin to look at this tonight and begin to study this, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Whenever you begin to study that husband out, he's simply saying that the Father is the caretaker of the vineyard, if you want to look at it that way. I began to read some things, and let me read you a few things that I found. One of the untruths One of the untruths which have been embraced within the Americanized church is the concept that the redeemed, born again, and believers in Christ only have to be faithful and not fruitful. That we only have to be faithful and not fruitful. The writer went on to say this, according to our text plus other texts, we discover very clearly that being fruitful is indeed the divine desire for those who name Christ as Savior. What he is simply saying to us is this, that Christ is desiring for us to be fruitful now that we're saved. That Christ desires for us as Christians to bear fruit. You say, preacher, how do I bear fruit? Well, there are several ways that you could say that you bear fruit. You bear fruit by witnessing to others. You bear fruit by leading others to Christ. You bear fruit by knocking on doors. You bear fruit by having the right attitude. Amen. You have fruit by living a sanctified life and a separated life and a holy life. So the Lord is desiring us as the born-again Christian to bear fruit tonight. One writer said this that I was reading out of on this passage. He said this. He said, whenever you plant your tomato vine, he said, whenever you plant that tomato bush or that tomato plant, whenever you plant that, you don't long for that to look the same every day that you go to it. He said, as the summer goes on, you long for it to begin to grow and it not just to stay a plant, but for it to begin to produce tomatoes. Whenever the other day, Miss Leslie planted some strawberry bushes, and her desire for those strawberry bushes is, number one, not to die tonight. And if they don't die tonight, for them here in a little while to begin to produce strawberries. If you've planted any of your garden yet, your desire is for it to produce those vegetables or to produce those fruits. And I say this to you tonight, once that we're saved by the grace of God, God's desire for your life and God's desire for my life is simply to produce fruit. He wants us to produce fruit. So there is some essentials that has to be in place for us to produce the right fruit. I thought about that word, essential. Boy, we've heard a lot about essential lately, have we not? Here's what that word essential means when you look it up in a dictionary. Absolutely necessary. There are some things that is absolutely necessary in our life if we're going to produce fruit for the Lord. If our life is going to matter, if we are going to produce the right things out of our life, there are some essentials, there are some things that is absolutely necessary. Let me show them to you tonight. There's three of them very simply. And then we'll go home. Number one, if we're going to produce the right fruit, the first essential is this. There has to be a proper planting. A proper planting. What did the Bible say in verse number two? Here's what the Bible said. Every branch in me. Every branch in me. You said, preacher, what are you saying by that? If you're going to produce the right fruit, number one, there has to be a proper planting. What is that? We have to be planted in Him, and He has to be planted in us. Our life has to be around Him. Jesus says, every branch, what did He say? Every branch in me. This is the secret. All this begins the day a person gets saved by the grace of God. You know what? A man that's not saved, a man that don't know the Lord is his Savior, he is not going to produce the right fruit. He may think that he's a good individual. He may try to live right. He may try to do good to his family. But the only way that we'll ever produce the right kind of fruit is to be planted the right way, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this. He said, every branch in me, every branch in me. I thought about this. How does a person become planted? It's because we are saved by the grace of God. Here's one verse that we use so many times about salvation, Brother Dakota. John 14:6. What did he say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I thought about that verse, and he talks about how to be saved. He said, I am the way. How is that person planted? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say in verse number one? I am the true vine, and the Father, that's God, is the husbandman. How are we planted in Him? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we saved? It is through Him. He said, I am the way. There is no other way to be planted in God than by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. The way is in Him. He deals in that verse. He says, how to be saved? I am the way. He says, how to be sure? I am the truth. You said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Can I tell you something? This book right here will give you the assurance of it. I am the way. That's Him. That's how to be saved. But how to be secure and know that you're planted the right way? It's in the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. This is the Word of God. Amen. John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The truth is this book today. Amen. It's the Word of God today. It contains the mind of God. It contains the way that we are properly planted to bear the right fruit. I thought about that verse. He shows how to be saved. He shows how to be sure. But can I say this? He shows how to be satisfied. He said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. When we're properly planted, we will have the right life. We will have how to be satisfied. We're satisfied in Him. We're not satisfied within ourselves, because ourself will let us down miserably. Somebody say amen. But we are satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm sorry, but my mind went carnal all of a second about that old song. It says, I can't get no satisfaction. But preacher, you may say, preacher, I can't find happiness. I've looked in this, and I've looked in a bottle, and I've looked in this, and I've looked in that. Hear me well. Satisfaction is found in being properly planted. Every branch in me, it's how we're saved. It's how we're sure. It's how we're satisfied. It's all in where we're planted at. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. We'll never get to heaven through ourselves and through our good works. We have to be planted in Him tonight. So number one, the essentials for fruit. Number one, I would say this. There has to be a proper planting, and that has to be in Him. Number two, watch this. Not only is there properly planted, but I thought about this. There's the professional pruning. There's the... Everybody's still awake tonight. What did he say? He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. More fruit. I remember my papa called him. My papa called him. Had an orchard and had numerous grapevines, and he had one apple tree that was producing about 6 or 7 different types of apples, because he had grafted different branches into that apple tree. It was really interesting. I remember I went by one day, and man, Papa was out there and was cutting limbs off one of those apple trees like crazy. And I said, Papa, what are you doing? And he said, I'm pruning the tree. And I said, well, it's not going to bear nothing. He said, no, it'll bear more. And I said, how will it bear more? He said, you have to prune the tree to get it to be healthy. You know, whenever I was reading this and studying this again this week, it came back to my mind what Papa was saying. I remember years ago, whenever we would garden some, we have a little one now, but I remember years ago, Brother Robert, whenever we had a larger garden, those tomato vines would start coming up. I remember Daddy went out there one day and he said, you need to break this off right here and break this one off right here. And I said, why? I said, if you leave those on there, it'll produce more vines off of that and it'll make more tomatoes. And he said, no, it's draining the nutrients out of that. He said, you need to break that off. And he said, it'll cause the vine that you've got to produce more and to be healthier than what it is. Can I say this to you tonight? That's exactly the application that he is using in this tonight. There's times in our life when Christ has to do some pruning to you and to me. There's some things that just suck the spiritual life out of us. And you know what Christ has to do? He has to prune that out of our life. I guarantee you, if you was to think about it tonight, if that vine could talk, if that apple tree could talk, if it could talk to us tonight, whenever you're cutting that branch off of it, I'm sure that it would say that it hurts right then. But in the long run, it was for that tree's good. And there's times in our life when God takes things away from us and God prunes some things out of our life. And in the beginning, we really don't understand it. I'm talking about essentials for fruit bearing. If we're going to bear the right kind of fruit and bear the fruit that God wants us to bear, there is sometimes that God has to cut things out of our life. I say this hesitantly. I know I've said it once or twice before, but I say this hesitantly but I really believe the Lord wants me to. If there's one thing besides spending time with my family and preaching the Word of God that I love, that I absolutely love, and it's fishing. I love it. Brother Tim, I just love it. There's nothing like going across the lake on an early morning when that smoke's rising up off the water and you're running about 75 mile an hour blasting across there and it looks like a piece of glass and taking that whopper plopper and slinging it up against the bank and watching a big largemouth swallow it as it's coming back across the water. I love it. I'm telling you, besides spending time with my family and preaching the Word of God, and did you catch that order? Because my family is before the ministry. Besides that, Brother Dakota, I'd rather do it than anything. I know, man. I love it. I've had several boats, and the last one that I had become a little G-O-D to me. That's what it become to me. And you know what I had to do, Brother Joe? I had to sell it. But you know what I'd done? I priced it high. Y'all with me right there? I priced it high, and you know what happened? A man come bought it. You know what God was doing? He was pruning some things out of my life. Was it a sin for me to have that boat? Absolutely not. But you know what it become? It become a distraction. It become a weight. And let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There's weights in our life and there's times when we're planted in Him that He will come along and He will begin to cut those things. He'll begin to prune those things. I pray that one day He lets me buy another one. And when I say I pray, I'm serious about that. I pray that one day He lets me have another. I looked at one this year and showed it to Brother Tim and he said, "You just need to go get it." And evidently, Tim didn't tell the Lord to tell me that because the Lord didn't tell me that. He told me not to go get it. So I was trying to discern if I was really listening to the Lord or if Brother Tim was more in tune with the Lord. Now you can tell there's not a boat down there, so I chose my prayer life over Brother Tim's that day. There's times that God cuts those things out of our life. Why? Because He's wanting to mature us. He's wanting us. Note the way he starts with fruit, more fruit, and then much fruit. Did you see the progression as it rolls through John 15 in those first 9 verses? And the only way that we'll ever be able to do that, what did he say? Here's what he said. He said he purgeth it. I looked that word purgeth and here's what it means. It means to cleanse of filthy impurity. To prune trees and vines from useless shoots. That's what it says, from useless shoots. And there's some things in our life, church, that every once in a while, God just has to cut them out. Now, we can do one of two things. We can listen to God and go ahead and get that thing out of our life, or God can use drastic measures to get that out of our life. Are you hearing the preacher this evening? So you say, "Preacher, I want to produce fruit. Preacher, I want to be the Christian that I need to be." Can I say this? Number one, you have to be planted right. Number two, there comes a time when God has to do some pruning in our life. Number three tonight, and I'll be done. Not only was he properly planted, not only is it professionally pruned, but I want you to see this in closing. It is permanently placed. It is permanently placed. Now I want to pick up reading in verse number 4. Abide. Did you catch that word? Watch it as we go through. In me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man, here it is again, abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Those useless works at the judgment seat, that's what's going to happen. They're going to be burned up. Whenever you study, there's an application here, but I'm not going to take the time to go into it. Look at verse number 7. If ye, here it is again, abide in me, and my words, here it is again, abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Look in verse number 9. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Not only you have to be planted, not only you have to be pruned, but can I say this? You have to be permanently placed. You have to be permanently placed. That word abide, not counting the time that it says abideth, just the word abide. If you'll take your Bible and you'll go down through there and you'll circle that word abide, if anything's repetitive in my Bible that I want to see in a close context, I use green and I circle it in green. And if you'll look, abide, 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 abide. I just said abide 8 times. 8 times from verse number 4 to verse number 9 do we find the word abide. So you know what I think Jesus is trying to tell us? You need to abide in me. You know what he's saying? You need to find some stickability and stay with it. Do you understand that terminology? Stickability and stay with it. Boy, if there's ever a time that we need that, it's in this day. You know that old term. Stick with it like a hare in a biscuit. Somebody said the other day, have you never heard that, Brother D.C.? He just looked at Miss Regina like, where in the world? Man, I've heard, Brother Tim, you've heard of that, hadn't you? Stick with it like a hare in a biscuit, like this. But so many today, Brother Joe, they want to wear their feelings right here and right here. And the least little thing, you know what they do? They walk away. They walk away. Some people are a member of 327 churches. They have never got planted and said, let come what may, I'm not going nowhere. Planted. He said, abide, abide, about 8 times. After I got done circling that and I read back through it and I seen that was 8 times, here's exactly where my mind went, the numerology in the Word of God. You know what the number 8 is? The number 8 is a new beginning. And when you get planted in Christ and you allow Christ to prune you every once in a while and you just decide, I am going to be placed here permanently, I'm not going anywhere, you'll learn a new beginning in your life. Amen. The old timers say it this way, they just wobble on the shaft. They just wobble on the shaft. Some, they may be here, they may not be here. They'll be faithful for a week or two, and then they're gone for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they're back in for a week or so, and then they're gone for 5 or 6, then they're back in. You know what? They're just pushed around. They're not permanently placed. And if we're going to bear fruit, you know what? If the frost don't get the strawberry bushes, and Miss Leslie has vowed and declared it's not going to, y'all help us pray about that. But if it don't, and a week from now we decide to go down our brother's stand and dig those strawberry bushes up and take them over here and put them over here and then leave them there a week and Brother Aaron dig them up and take them over here and put them over here a week and then a week later dig them up, Brother Charles, and take them up. You know what? It's never going to do anything. Matter of fact, here's what's going to happen to it. It's just going to wither up and die. You know what happens to a lot of people when it comes to serving the Lord? They're just pushed about. They'll uproot and they'll go over here and try to root back and they'll uproot and they'll go over here and try to... And you know what ends up happening? They just end up withering and drying up and just end up completely out of church. I mean, you're going to have to decide in your mind, you know what? I'm going to stick with it. Serving Jesus is not a bed of roses. Serving God is not always easy. Miss Leslie was talking to a young Christian just today. And she was telling her, every day of your life, you have to get up and you have to decide. She didn't say these exact words, but this is the application. You have to decide that you're going to let God run your life that day, that you're going to let God make those decisions for you that day. It's easy to get up and just go about your day, but it's hard to get up and say, you know what, I'm going to read my Bible a little bit this morning. I'm going to pray this morning, and I'm going to allow God to direct my path today. I'm going to be rooted in Him. I'm going to be permanently placed in Him. I'm not wobbling on the shaft. I'm letting Him run the show today. And you're going to have to come to a place in your life where you say, you know, and I'm not, when I'm talking about permanently placed, I'm not talking about losing our salvation. It's not possible. Eternal security is the plainest, simplest doctrine in the Word of God. It's the plainest one there, but what I'm saying is this. Some people, well, they're church hoppers. They go here, they get their feelings hurt, they go here, they get their feelings hurt, they go here, they get their feelings hurt, they go here. I said this not long ago. There was an individual that came to our church for a while, and Leslie and I went and visited them, and Brother Robert, that individual took their Bible and opened it up, and in the back of it was like 9 different churches wrote down. And it was where they had been in like the past 2 years. And he had the reason they had left. And all of it had to do with his wife. He needs to come Sunday night and hear my message on the husband's place in the home and the wife's place in the home. You know what? I don't know how many's in there today, but I know it's at least 10. And one of them's Amazing Grace Baptist Church, that 10th one is. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Man, get planted, church. It's the Wednesday night crowd, so this is more Con Ed than it is anything. Get planted. You know what? Somewhere along the way, somebody in this church is going to hurt your feelings. And you know what? They're going to hurt my feelings. You want me to be honest with you? Mine got hurt this week. It's the truth. My wife and one other individual that's in this room right now knows what it was. And can I be real honest? I got mad. I got mad. And I told Miss Leslie, I said, bless God, I tell you exactly what I'm going to do. I tell you what I'm going to do. And I told that other individual. I said, here's what I'm going to do. We was talking about the situation. And I wasn't upset with him. We was conversing back and forth about it. And I said, here's exactly what I'm going to do. And he didn't say much after I said that. You know, he was trying his best not to rebuke his pastor like he needed to. I picked up the phone. I called my dad. And I said, listen, right here's the situation. And I said, I'm pretty upset over it. He said, go to bed. I'll call you back in the morning. So the next morning, I got up, which was Tuesday morning. I called him back because he hadn't called me, Brother Brian. And he said, let me tell you what you need to do about that. He said, you need to forget about it unless it's ever brought up again. He said, and then if it's brought up again, then yes, you as a pastor, you're going to have to confront it. He said, but the best thing you can do is just forget about it. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now. He said, I got to go. I'm busy. But the best thing, he wasn't busy. He said, you just need to forget about it. So I called the other individual back, and I said, hey, here's what I think I'm going to do. He said, I believe you're probably on the right path right there. I believe that'd be the right thing to do. And he said, if anything else happens with it at that point, then yes, I agree, you're going to have to confront it. You know what? I'm here tonight. I'm here tonight. I didn't stay at the house tonight. Miss Vicki, I didn't call somebody else to come in and preach for me tonight. I didn't write a letter of resignation and say that I was going to leave. Oh, if anybody was going to leave, it wasn't going to be me. I was mad. I'm not going to lie about it. I was mad. But I'm here. So, preacher, what are you saying? What did he say? Abide. 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 If some people switch jobs like they switch churches, they never have a job. They never have a job. So what I want to say to you tonight, church, is if we're going to produce the fruit that God wants us to produce, we're going to have to lock in and lock arms and decide, you know what, let come what may, I'm just going to serve the Lord. I'm going to find my place right here at Amazing Grace, and I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not being run off. I think there's some that would like to run me off. But I've made up my mind. It took the majority of the church to vote me in. And it'll take the majority of the church to vote me out. Now, if God tells me to leave, that's a different story. And if the church decides the majority of them wants me gone, well, then so be it. I'll go on down the road and I'll find a church that's interested in doing the will of God. And we'll go on down the road and serve God. Abide. Abide. You got to be planted right. You got to be pruned every once in a while. And you got to abide. Essentials for bearing fruit. Essential. What did he say? There's fruit. There's much fruit. And there's more fruit. And that's where we ought to be. We ought to have a desire in our heart for others to see Christ in us and in everything that we do. We've got to be planted in Him. It all goes back to I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.